Okay, opening scripture, Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. And if you have something to underline some key words with me, I would encourage you to do this. And those key words are trust, delight, commit, and rest. But we're going to read the verse that goes with that. Psalm 37, starting in verse 3. Not unfamiliar to many of us, but these scriptures seem very strong in my spirit yesterday to bring today. And so here we go. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, to trust in the Lord, trust means to depend on and to rely on completely. No willy-nilly halfway here or there. When we say that we're going to trust the Lord, then that means whatever you trust the Lord with, you don't be an Indian giver and take it back. You trust the Lord with something, it would be like, I have a nice new green phone directory, so make sure you get one. Now, but if I give this to Fletcher and he takes it, that's like, I'm trusting that you're going to take that home and it might be handy. But if I say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not sure that you'll do that, and I take it back, then that's not really trust. And sometimes we do that. But see, I'm a trusting person, so you can have that, and I trust that you'll use it. And I'm not going to take it back, and don't tell anybody. All right? And do good, it says. So we're called as believers that no matter how we're treated by others, we're to continue to do good. And that's where the flesh says, no way, Jose. You don't know what that person did to me. Now you're telling me to do good to him? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? All right? Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. There's a quality of life in Christ that when you really trust him with your life. Oh, yeah. If you can't trust the Lord with little things, how can you trust that you're saved? I don't want to undermine your faith, but you know, when you really take these words to heart, it's going to change and impact the way you see your life and that which remains of it that you've said that you trust the Lord in all the problems, all the issues, all the situations that we all encounter, not only in a week's time, but imagine over the years. And you say, well, I'm just trusting the Lord, but then you're doing everything in your own power and your own strength to fix things. Remember a long time ago, one of the most freeing things in ministry I discovered, and I said it publicly so there'd be no misunderstanding, I can't fix your stuff. I'm not Holy Ghost Junior. But he is. He can fix your stuff. But you got to trust him and not keep taking it back. And dwell in the land. That means go ahead and live your life of faith. And feed on God's faithfulness, knowing that he is faithful. And we spent 2 weeks talking about God's faithfulness. It was a little mini thing that we did together and really saw, and in the testimonies, how faithful God really is. He watches over his word to perform it. His word does not return unto him void. And we also came across another interesting scripture that said that God honors his word even above his name. That's how much of an integrity that God has, that he will honor his word even above his name. Okay, and then it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Take pleasure, take joy, take gladness of heart in the Lord. Not happiness is different than delighting in joy. Happiness is when every circumstance is going my way and I got brownies and chocolate pie with whipped cream and all this. Those are nice. That makes me happy. Makes me larger, but I get happier doing it. Okay? But to take joy it's different because it's based on our relationship with the Lord. And joy and delight doesn't change because God doesn't change. So delight yourself also in the Lord. And what does it say next? He shall give you the desires of your heart. Do you have any desires in your heart of the Lord that you've never told anybody else? Yeah, I see a few heads. You can be bobbleheads in church, or no. No, it's okay, it's cool. Yes. But the desires, when we take delight in him, the desires that he gives us are honorable. they're good desires. They're not selfish, and they're not for self-gain or anything like that. They're going to be desires that we're going to be blessed with, that will bring praise and glory and honor to Him. And nobody else may know anything about what your desire is, but He knows. Commit your way to the Lord. That's really important. Your way, your walk, your calling, your ministries, your gifts, your talents, your skills, your abilities. If you commit those to the Lord, it's one of those things, again, commit goes with trust. I commit them to you. I turn them over to you to oversee, to be my rear guard, to go before me to prepare the way. Like Amy's testimony with the car, she didn't have enough time to say, "Oh God," or something like that, but her heart was crying out. And when we commit our way to the Lord, it kind of like gives Him permission, if you will, to oversee our walk, to lead us by His Spirit, to speak into our hearts and spirits, things to caution us about, things to be aware of, things to look out for, little tidbits along the way, if you will, to whatever way it is that you're committing to Him, that He knows already ahead of time. He's like the eyes that see around the next corner on the highway of life, shall we say. And how important that is to still ourselves and quiet ourselves so that we hear that. Sometimes we make all the noise and we do all the talking and then wonder why nothing happened. Probably because you talked so much God didn't hear you. So you got to take time to hear Him back. So make sure that you have time. Take your time and get settled. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. It's just a little reference back. And He shall bring it to pass. The way, the walk, what you see with your life and where it's going. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. That's really important because when we're walking under the shadow of the Almighty, then there's something about our countenance that unsaved people notice. We don't generally see it upon each other because we all have it. So, but to an unsaved person, they know there's something different about your life when it's truly committed to the Lord. Not only the words that we speak, but our mannerisms, our attitudes, our joy meters off the chart most of the time, unless we're mixing it up with happy. You can do a happy dance once in a while, but it won't get you as far as joy will. Happy dances are cool, though. You know, don't if you got one, don't stop. Rest in the Lord. What else do you do? If you've done all of the above, now you have peace. Peace is returned. His peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Oh my, patiently is important. Not murmuring, not complaining, not prodding Him, not pushing Him, but waiting. Allowing God the time He needs. So many times when together we pray for other people. And sometimes we forget that God doesn't force anyone to change. And if you're praying for a workplace change, think of all the hearts that the Holy Spirit has to start working on to make that change happen. Sometimes we get selfish in our thinking and it's all about me and it's all about Him. While oftentimes there are a lot of other people involved behind the scenes before that change can be received. There, God's Holy Spirit is working when we pray, and we have to trust that. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So Jesus knows how to pray too, and He's praying for us. So you're never without a prayer cover. So why worry, why fret when you can rest? Because when you've done all the doing there is to be done, rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And then, here's a nice one too. It's still part of that same verse. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Don't be looking at somebody else and getting envious or jealous because they seem to be walking better than you are. They seem to be often this place where God's blessing and anointing is falling all over his or her life, and you're getting a little scrap that falls off the table kind of thinking. Don't get into that. Don't worry about that stuff. God's purposes and plan will be worked out in your life if you don't fret about it, because fret is rooted in fear, and fear is negative faith. Do you know what really fear is? I like what Gloria Copeland said one time. Fear is meditating on the works of the devil. That's what fear is, if you really want it straight. Why would you want to do that? See, we wouldn't. And don't fret because of him who prospers in his way or because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. All of us have a sphere of influence, if you will. And we can, shallowly, if you will, we can pull strings and make things happen. You know we can. We can manipulate people, we can con them, we can say things or do things to make them walk a certain way. But that's not really the seriousness of this. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to move us and direct us and lead us and guide us into a walk that's going to be the absolutely most perfect and the finest of quality of life that any person could ever have. End of story. So those four words: trust, delight, commit, and rest. There's been an invitation given. If you would please go to 2 Kings chapter 2. The invitation has been given and welcoming the Holy Spirit to be freely among us, and we know as believers that he's already dwelling within us and upon us and among us and through us. But this different today in the sense that it's a great day because not only traditionally, and I'm not one to really like traditions and make traditions out of things in the sense that Jesus talked about, that we have preferred the traditions of men rather than the Word of God. But today being Mission Sunday, I want to bring you to this place of Elijah and Elisha at the edge of the Jordan River. And a conversation took place. Are you there in chapter 2, 2 Kings?
Yes.
Okay, would you go to verse 5, please? Verse 5 of chapter 2, and probably Tom will have it on the board in just a second. And so we're going to read down through here, because this is a very powerful moment among us today. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yeah, Lord, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And the two went on. So now we have Elijah and Elisha, two of them, at the river's edge. The prophets had spoken that today Elijah would be taken from them. And Elisha already knew it by the Spirit of the Lord. Because there's no other way of knowing that today you're checking out on your chariot of fire, except the Lord reveal that to you. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went out and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. There's always the spectators every time there's a move of the Spirit. Some people choose to participate, and others choose to be spectators, because they don't really know what's going to happen when you start messing around with that Holy Ghost stuff. And they're a little bit standoffish out on the outer. Well, we'll watch and see what happens to those guys before we take the risk. you know, because I don't know, this, you know, these people go to that church and strange things happen down there sometimes, and we don't know what they do down there. So you can just read these truths right in there. And Elijah took his mantle, he wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided here and there, so that the two went over on dry ground. You see, there was an anointing on his life that goes all the way back to Moses. I don't know if he ever made that connection or not, when Moses stretched forth that rod out over the water and the Red Sea parted and the Israelites crossed on dry ground. Do you know how long a riverbed stays muddy after the water's gone? They crossed on dry ground. It was a supernatural event that took place. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. How many of you could handle that? How many would like to take the chance? Well, today, a sister among us is headed for India in 2 days. And the significance of her being here today and all that's already happened is a culmination of things today from the beginning, the first time all of us came through this door together today. There's been a welcoming, there's been an assurance, there's been signs of God's anointing and his presence among us and upon us. And we're going to pray for you, but I want you to look at it from this perspective. As that anointing from Moses came upon Elijah and he passed it on to Elisha, because Elisha received that. There are some of us who have gone before you, and we're all going to pray for you, but it's really important that those that have gone, please come up. Tom, Bill, Gang, Dr. Solano Wood, but he won't be here until Thursday, so he's going to be a dollar late and 2 days short. So, but just come up, and we're not going to fool around with this stuff. It's real, it's true, and because there's an anointing, and we want to impart that to you. And I shared with you the 5 stones. May I share that with the congregation? Okay, this morning before you all came, I've testified and shared that Gary and I have communion together, and we pray for the sanctuary and the chairs and anoint the doors and everything. And this morning, Gary called me, and as they were coming by the Joy Y, told me where they were, and he said, prepare breakfast for 4. So I put 4 communion cups plus 1 for myself in the little plate that we use. There's no other plate in a church like that, so don't take it and break it. It's only one. And as I looked down, there were 5 cups in a circle with a little 5 goldfish with the big smiles on their faces, those little goldfish cookies. And suddenly, my eyes are opened into the heavenly realm, and I saw something entirely different. I saw David and Goliath on the battlefield. And I was taken back to that battlefield, and where the Lord told David to pick up 5 smooth stones because he was going to encounter a battle in the heavenlies. Not everybody saw the earthly battle, David and Goliath in the physical sense, but there was a battle waging in the heavenlies. Do you know that had Goliath killed David, that would have interrupted the ascendancy to the throne of Israel, and not only that, but the lineage of Jesus coming? That's how significant that battle was. And David needed 5 stones. The 5 stones are 1 for Goliath as his enemy, and Goliath had 4 other brothers in the city of Gath. And David knew, if you mess with 1 brother, the rest of them are coming after you. And it's the same in the spiritual sense. There is a spiritual battle that took place. So not only did those stones represent a stone for every one of his enemies in the physical, they also represent what Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Right now, India is in great turmoil. India has been covered with darkness in the spiritual sense, and they are trying to take out Christianity and all the Christians. She goes, trust, commit, delight, and rest. Those scriptures weren't by accident today, and we didn't plan them. It just one of those things that happens. So we want you to be aware of there's going to be opposition. You know that already. But spiritually, there's a lot of opposition. But spiritually, you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's why we want to pray for you, all of us that have gone, because there's something about goers. We're all of the same mindset. You can't deny that. When you talk to other people that have traveled with the gospel to foreign countries and the spiritual battles that you encounter every day, you're going to need that double portion, if you will, that Elijah received from Elijah. And that's why we want to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. And y'all can come down too and pray. And if you'd like to do that, and join with us, release your faith together, because this is a serious matter. And
come on.
We joyfully do the offering, but we should be joyful about sending one from That's among right. us. And it's a major step on her part. It's one thing to be in Keene, it's another to go where she's going. So Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for that Elisha anointing upon our sister. We thank you that you strengthen her with the power of your Holy Spirit in her inner man. We thank you for your covering of grace and mercy and protection. We thank you that she's covered, that you've given your angels charge over her to keep her in all her ways. We thank you that your Holy Spirit will go before her to prepare her way. We thank you that he's her rear guard. We thank you that he encompasses her and surrounds round about her, and that all of your holy angels that have been assigned to her will be faithful to carry out the word of God concerning her. Father, thank you for this door that's been opened that no man can close. We thank you for heavenly, divine protection from the moment she leaves till the moment she arrives back home, that this anointing will carry her, this anointing will sustain her. We pray, Father, that you will open her spiritual eyes, that she sees into the heavenly realm, and be notified, be made aware of any dangers that your Holy Spirit will alert her to, that the natural eye will not be able to see. Just as you showed Gehazi, the army of the Lord on the mountaintops that surrounded round about the battle. I thank you, Father, thank you, that you show her that army in the heavenlies, yes, that goes before her, yes, that will be there with her, amen, and will return with her. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We ship her out. We send her out. We sow her out as a seed. And we thank you for those that you put in her path that are going to have desperate need of what she brings. I thank you, Father, that you show her things there that she doesn't know about now. I thank you that you increase her revelation, her understanding, her discerning of spirits that she may be dealing with. I thank you that all of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit will be manifest and ready to be activated in her life in a new measure. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you so much. You know, I was sitting down front. The Lord kept giving me a word, like it's a scripture verse, but I was afraid to say it out loud because, you know, oh my, and that's what I'm going to end you with. No fear of man on me. No fear of human opinion. It's all about what Jesus wants to do through me as a yielded vessel. But I just kept hearing him say, see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You know, so that's like for now, and his goodness is all around. And that was matches up with the scripture verse. But I just think that's for all of us, just to have the eyes to see the goodness of God wherever we go in the land of the living. And that's in India too, Robin.
Yes. And okay.
First Corinthians. So it's unto the church of God, which is at Chester. All right. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you until the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the fellowship of India will be extended to you. We bind all attacks of the enemy, spiritually, physically, any kind of roadblocks, be bound in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of it's called Vishnu, that's the spirit of death in India. And it has scared missionaries before. It may appear before you as a dragon. Let the blood of Jesus Christ covers you, and let the power speak to it and tell it to get out of you. Wherever you go, it's to trust on the Lord, not on your own understanding. And the words of this Bible, the Holy Spirit, God's spoken word, will have your armor. This is your armor. It's the word of God. And believe me. No matter how you see or hear.
When Robert prayed before, the Lord spoke to me two words: hope and expectation.
I'll have hope and expectation, Lord. I will. Give it to me so I can have it for you. Let the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shine in me and then out of me. And may there be many signs and wonders and miraculous healings through just simply my childlike faith. And just as like a one person with Christ's faith can be like a laser light of resurrection life power, and the same power that Christ raised Christ from the dead is the same power that can heal illness and set people free and unto salvation and deliverance. Anybody that he sends me to, and I have faith to believe in him. In Jesus' name.
Part two. It's your turn. Coming into a new year, y'all got a few battle scars probably along the way. Maybe need a little refreshing this morning. King, would you come back, please? We're not done.
Could I practice praying for people?
Well, just let me finish. All right. For those that call is specifically to be refreshed by the Spirit today, that's what I want to pray for first, because that's the part that's going to take care of all of the other stuff. When the Holy Spirit refreshes you from inside, that fountain that you thought was drying up is going to be turned loose again. And also, through the laying on of hands, any of you that are dealing with any infirmities, that won't matter, because as you pass by, I would like that we would each just lay our hand on you, and you can either walk by, you can stand here or whatever. This is for you. And I know we don't do this really often, very rarely, but today I think it's most appropriate, because if you're thirsty, look at all the songs about the Holy Spirit today. Look at what's happened already in our midst. Why would we want to not experience that? Faith will keep dinner down there. It'll be hot. We'll be cool. No, but this, if that's something that you feel that you could benefit by, then please come up. And then after that, I don't know where we'll end up, but I know it'll be good. Well, that's a possibility too. But it's not going to be a prayer so much as an impartation of a refreshing in the Spirit, because you already have the Holy Spirit. We can't pray for him to come again, because he's not Jack in the Box, okay? He's in you and he stays with you. But we can pray that he will refresh you anew today. So that's what we're going to do.
Folks, these are exciting moments. These are blessed moments now. Having, from the first trip over there, coming up here and being prayed for, and to see what God has done and what he will do with this young woman, person, and how she's going to minister. Because these are moments you don't find every day. But enjoy it, absorb it, pray on it, and live with it. I mean, these are beautiful moments. I can't express it anymore than what my heart is feeling right now.
My sister, my daughter, be refreshed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name.
Friends of Zion, Jeannie, in God's amazing promises for you, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. The Lord will open the heaven, the storehouse of his boundary, send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 3 to 13. This special prayer sums it all up. God has really sent his blessings to each and every one of us.